You mad bro. So we kicked this off last week. We talked about how, the destruction that we see in the Bible, it's always meant for redemption. But who would still say you still struggle with a God who gets angry? Would anyone willing to admit you struggle with a God that gets angry? Anyone? It's okay if you do. Or at least a God that gets angry and wipes out entire people groups. Anyone? You struggle with that? Like, no one struggles with that? Are you, like, just destroying people? It's okay if you do, because, like, honestly, that pulls at our heartstrings, because we love people, and we know God loves people too, but you read some of these stories, and you're like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that God. That seemed like a little bit of much. And so we talked about how, you know, our human perspective on anger, we try to put that on God, and sometimes it gets muddied. And but I think because of relationship, in relationship is a lot of times really close relationship is where you really begin to see people really express, not just anger, but express their emotions in much bigger ways. So let's relate this to our relationships. Isn't it true that the people closest to us tend to get the worst of us? Would anyone say that that's true? They do. They just get the worst. And I think the reality is the reason that we give them the worst because we know that there's more grace and forgiveness that'll come, right? They know us the most, and so they get the worst. We get angrier at people or with people that we care about more. I think the other thing is true is that we get angry when we're in a relationship with someone and they don't get angry or bothered by injustice that's taking place, or they don't get angry or bothered by things that we care about, by things that matter to us. And so we see anger in our relationships. And anger doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing. It doesn't have to be something that is bad, but I think the majority rule is that it is. Like, you know, if you're expressing anger, if you're getting angry, that's a bad thing, but that's not how we need to be looking at it. But anyway, so it's being in a relationship, kind of this committed relationship where, you know, you have committed to someone, they have committed to you, and you're expecting more of them. You're expecting them to understand. You're expecting them to care. And it's in those close-knit, committed relationships where we really get to see each other, really down to the deep, raw emotions of each other. And we also understand that in this commitment, we are committed to them and they are committed to us, and we shouldn't break that commitment for anything. But what we see in relationships is that oftentimes these commitments are broken. I was thinking through this in my relationship. Now, me and my wife, we were high school sweethearts. We started dating in 10th grade. And you know how, you know, high school relationships go. They're great. They're really solid. I was really big into gaming on computers. Anyone ever play StarCraft? StarCraft, Warcraft, World of Warcraft. Okay, good. I got one guy over here. Yes. That guy gets a free coffee afterwards. Wait, he probably already got one. Anyway, so I was big into StarCraft. It was like a real-time strategy game. I played it all the time with my best friend. And if you were to ask my wife, Christine, if there was one game that she hated more than any other game that I played, she would tell you it's StarCraft, and here's why. We're dating for about a year. And what I would do is I'd play with my buddy, and I'd have this headset on, and I'd be talking on the phone. And you know, back in the day, you would, like, sit on the phone for hours and talk with your girlfriend or boyfriend, right, and talk about nothing. You'd just sit there and hear each other breathe. Anyone remember doing that? That was fun. I miss those days. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm playing StarCraft, and she's got to know I'm playing StarCraft. But I have my headset on, and she's just yap, 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 and I am completely oblivious to anything she's saying. And I guess she didn't realize it, because at some point, she's like, do you just want to break up? And my response is, yeah, sure. Right? And, like, she was living, and that was it. Like, she took that, and we broke up right then and there, and I didn't even know what happened until a few days later. And so there's this portion, and so I'm gonna take this in another direction now, because, like, I you know, me and, we're not married, okay? We're just boyfriend and girlfriend, but still, within that little realm of commitment, what you're saying is I'm committed to be your boyfriend, and you're committed to my girlfriend, and I'm gonna attempt to put you before everything else. But what I did in that moment is I put StarCraft, I put this video game before her, and I chose that and was more committed to that than I was to her, and it drove a wedge and broke our relationship. There was a, later on, we got back together. Imagine that. Lord, I can't remember. My mom will tell you all about this. I remember things very bad when I was younger. I think we were on a break, or I don't know, and then we got back together. But I went on a summer, I went on a summer mission trip with my youth group, and you know how those things go. And I met a girl, you know what I'm saying? And she lived in like South Carolina, North Carolina. I'm not allowed to say her name, because that's how bad it got. I was so stupid. I came back and I told Christine about this girl, and she found out about this girl, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna bring her down to go to the prom or homecoming with me. And so there's two things that my wife hates. It's StarCraft and the girl whose name I cannot mention. And my wife, it's funny, I was telling my wife about the message and I didn't add this until this morning. And so she didn't know. Anyway, but so here, I share those things. They're kind of fun and funny, and we need a little bit of this because we're talking about anger. But I share those things to say this, like, In both of those things, there was I chose something, right? And what I'll say, and this is something that I saw kind of come to fruition in my life, is video games became an addiction of mine. And this is what we see will break relationships up when we choose something, some kind of addiction, whether it's substance or something else, that'll break the committed relationship. And then, or if you choose someone else than the person you are supposed to be committed to. You know, I was thinking about, you know, divorce, and I was pretty sure I knew what it was, but I went and I looked. You know what the leading cause of divorce is? Infidelity. It's choosing someone else over the person that you committed to, that you made vows with, that you entered into a covenant relationship with, and then right after that was substance abuse, which again comes into addiction. So it's choosing someone or something over the person that you've committed or entered into a covenant relationship with. And I'm bringing this all into our covenant relationship with God. You see, when God, we know that God is slow to anger. We talked about that last week, right? His nostrils burn hot, and it takes a long time because he's got those long nostrils, but his nostrils burn hot when the people break covenant relationship with him. When his people break covenant relationship, when they turn their back on him to worship, to be devoted or committed to other gods or other idols. And you go and read the Old Testament. This is what you see happening time and time again. But the wild part about all of this is that as you read through Scripture, and now you even get into New Testament, and even now, the more people turn from God, from relationship with God, choosing sin that separates us from him, the deeper God goes into his commitment and his covenant with us. Isn't that crazy? Because for us, it's the opposite, right? If someone turns their back on us or breaks that covenant relationship or does something to harm us, we tend to push away even further. But God draws in even closer and says, I'm going to be even more committed to this covenant with you. Now, here's the other thing with this. It's important to know that the deeper God's commitment and covenant is, the more severe the judgment, the justice, the consequences seem. Here's what I want to kind of give you today, and this is what we're talking about the whole time. It's when we break covenant relationship with God that we face the destruction of our own desires. I'm going to unpack that. When we break covenant relationship with God, that's when we face the destruction of our own desires. See, the reason God eventually gets mad is because, I say eventually because he's slow to anger, it's because his people that he's in relationship with, they have experienced relationship with him. I mean, you go in the Old Testament, you probably experience, they've seen the miracles. They've undergone transformation. They've been rescued and saved time and time again, and yet they still turn their back on God. And we do this often. God's plan has always been and will always be redemption, but our selfish desires by them, we continually choose destruction. And guess what? We blame God for it. But it's our desires, our sinful desires. Not what God has for us or wants for us, but what we want. I want to share a few quotes from the Bible Project. Pastor Tim Mackey, Dr. Tim Mackey, he's the guy who runs this. And these are two quotes from the Bible Project. He says, God's anger is most often expressed when he hands people over to the inevitable consequences of their actions. So you wanted to do that? I'm going to hand that over to you. And he goes on, he says, Moses gives us language to reflect on times when God withdraws his sustaining power or when he lets people go back into the land of death if they so choose. And he calls it hiding his face. God hiding his face. Now, it's repeated in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And God hiding his face becomes shorthand for God handing people over by withdrawing his protective or ordering presence. And you think about this, and I mean, think about it in your life. You know, there are times when things kind of just, everything, the bottom falls out. But you ever thought about all those times that God's hand of protection has been on you? And this is what it's kind of talking about. When he hides his face, when he hands them over to his evil desires, what God is saying is that I am no longer protecting you as I once was. You have turned away from me, and I am allowing you to enter into your own destruction. You see, when God does express his emotion towards his people, and I say his emotion because it happens whether he's angry or whether there is sorrow, as we see in the flood, as I talked about a little bit last week, when he expresses his emotion, he does so by handing his people over to their desires. And so then Moses coins this phrase in Deuteronomy that God hides his face. I want to read it to you in Deuteronomy 31. It says, the Lord said to Moses, you are about to rest with your fathers, and these people will soon commit adultery. There it is, right? They're going to cheat on me, and they're going to go into foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will abandon me and break the covenant I have made with them. And there it is. My anger will burn against them, right? His hot nose will burn against them on that day. I will abandon them and hide my face from them so that they will become easy prey. Many troubles and afflictions will come on them. On that day will they say, haven't these troubles come to us because our God is no longer with us? I will certainly hide my face on that day because of all the evil they have done by turning to other gods. We like to blame God for the things that take place, but in most cases, we can just always take it right back to a sin that we've committed, or maybe even someone else has committed. And the truth is that life and stability in order, they are a gift from God, and God hiding his face becomes, through the flood, the inevitable descent into chaos caused by human destructiveness and violence. God ruins an already ruined creation, and in so doing, creates conditions for reordering and renewal to take place. The destruction is not for destruction's sake, the destruction is for redemption's sake. If you know the flood story, you know that after this, God, he vows to never again flood the earth. Never again will he do this. But instead, what's he do? He decides in this moment to enter into an eternity-long covenant relationship with his chosen people. Fast forward to Exodus 32. Same thing is kind of going on. I talked about it last week. Is that it will not have the very bottom. Because this is a narrative that I see time and time again. And then we may want a story. I'm just going to really briefly share. He gives him what he wants. Hands him over to what he wants. Pigs eat. Back to him, and it took him sending his son. Now, here's the key to all of this, and I think for way too many people, they miss this part. Because this cun time thing that you do on church on Sunday, you say, oh, yeah, cool, I want to enter into that. No. Focusing on him. Becoming more and more like him every single day. 1 John 2:6 says this. The one who says he remains in him. So what that means, if we say, yeah, we want to remain in covenant relationship with God, then we actually got to live that out every single day of our lives. Luke 9:23. Jesus says, and he was saying to all of them, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me. It's daily taking up our cross. And we know what that means. We know what Jesus taking up the cross for us meant. It was sacrifice. It was putting our sinful desires to death so that we could live in righteous covenant with God. I think we all know this. I think it's easy to miss it or to overlook it. Sin brings death. Period. It brings death. It always will. Until we're returned, until he comes back, sin will bring death always. Your sin, your family's sin, the guy's sin in the line behind you, your parents' sin, all sinful desires bring destruction. And guess what? What stinks about that is while we're here on this earth, we will endure the destruction that sins bring. And I just want to be clear on that, because just because you and I are in covenant relationship with God, it doesn't mean we won't endure hardship. And I think sometimes people come into a relationship with God and they're like, oh, cool, sweet. That's it, I'm set. I'll never have to go through anything difficult in my life ever again. Thank you, God. It doesn't work like that. Because sadly, we live in a fallen, broken world where there are so many people around us who are living in covenant relationship with sin instead of being in covenant relationship with God. And us, listen to me, us seeking him out daily, not just at church, but at home, in our neighborhoods, at our workplace, that is where we're going to go out and be the light and show them that there is so much, something so much better to be committed to than sin. And it's in that we will begin to turn this nation back to God. Let me also say this. We are going to endure sins and suffering. And what this doesn't mean, especially if you're honoring that covenant relationship with God, I want you to hear this. Just because you are experiencing trouble and hardship, it doesn't mean God's angry with you. Especially if you're honoring that covenant relationship. Now, if you're living in sin and you're continually living in sin, okay, you got to deal with that. But if you're living and honoring that covenant relationship with him and you're still enduring trials, please hear me out. It doesn't mean he's angry with you. But I can guarantee you it does mean he's working something out for your good and for his glory right then and there. And you got to keep on holding on. In those moments when you're weakest and in your darkest moments, when you feel like turning to this hope that is eternal and that God gave to us by redemption of his son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. You know, this covenant relationship, as with any relationship that we commit to, it's a big deal. It's not to be taken lightly. I think there are far too many Christians that don't take their relationship with God seriously. And they've put other things before him. Maybe work, maybe money, maybe material possessions, maybe another person, maybe an addiction. I don't know what it is. And I don't think anything of it. But God's heart is sorrowful when we are choosing other things or other people over him. And it does take him a long time to get angry. But eventually, if you keep choosing other things and other people over him, he's going to hand you over to your sinful desires. And the only one to blame for that is you. And so maybe you're living in that right now. What I would suggest for you and pray for you right now is that you would bring whatever it is to his feet. This act of repentance. And all this is turning away from whatever we were worshiping over God and turning back to God. That is repentance. Come back to him. Experience that redemption. If there is sin in your life, sin surrounding your life, and with that there is ruin and turmoil and destruction, I just tell you, just like the father in the prodigal son's story, God is waiting with open arms to embrace you and bring you back into his protective care. And you don't have to go in it with shame or regret or anything, because Jesus already paid for that. Lay it at his feet. Enter into covenant relationship with him again and live it out daily. If you're here today and you've never entered into covenant relationship with God, maybe you've gone through the motions. gone to church, and bought a Bible, got the Christian t-shirt, but you've never actually committed to this relationship that God has given to you through his son, Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is where we receive forgiveness and salvation. If you've never done that, whether you're here in person or online, I want to pray that you would do that right now. Say, God, today I want to enter into covenant relationship with you. I'm turning away from my sin, and I'm turning to what you have for me, which is so much better. God, and I know and believe today that it is only through your son, Jesus, that I am able to do that. Today, I want to enter into that relationship. Come into my heart and let me leave this place and choose to live for you every single day. God, thank you for what you're teaching us through your word, what you're teaching us about your character. God, I pray today that you have revealed to someone that though you may get angry, at the end of the day, your love and your desire is all that you will have for us, a desire to redeem us back into covenant relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.